Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Operation Woo King Tuck got emboldened.
Oh, dear God.
The Woo people are out.
Yeah, that's really pleasant.
As he did 120 seconds with Elise Menneker on Marquee, he showed some personal attachment to Chicago and the Cubs thing.
Favorite dinner spot?
The Vets. I end up going there a bunch.
Come on now. That is a unique place to Chicago. It's not the Olive Garden or someplace you can go.
I mean, take yesterday, for example. We were out at the Olive Garden for dinner, which was lovely. And I happened to look over at a certain point during the meal and see a waitress taking an order, and I found myself wondering what color her underpants might be.
There's nothing wrong with the Olive Garden.
All right, well, it's not a Red Lobster.
There's nothing wrong with Red Lobster now.
Look, let's get something to eat. There's a Red Lobster nearby. I treat.
Maybe some other time.
Okay, well, I'll be at the Red Lobster in case you change your mind, Shooter.
I'm just saying, it's not a chain where he could go in another city. This is, are
you saying that there are no steakhouses of that quality in New York City and Boston?
All right, they might have places with a vintage ambiance and dim lighting and a classic decor that creates a cozy and sophisticated atmosphere. They might also have places like that.
They might also have places where, when you're there, you're family.
Why is a corporate steakhouse so good? I want it to be dark. I want shellfish towers. I want bosses trying to impress their new hires. I want new hires trying to impress their bosses. That's what I love, and I want it to have more than one location. I want to know that the exact same thing is happening in Dallas, in Chicago, in New York, in Miami. I want consistency. I want a menu designed in a boardroom by suits. I want every location to be the same. I want to know that the sriracha vinaigrette at the Poke Bowl is the same everywhere I go. And then I don't have some artist chef going to ruin my favorite dish because he thinks he's special. You're not.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Full boat for you today. We've got a lot of cool stuff happening on the show. In fact, we're going to give away a bunch of stuff. We're going to give away Black Keys tickets. We're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys No Rain, No Flowers tour with special guest Gary Clark Jr. September 3rd at the Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island. Tickets are available via Live Nation if you don't win them. But when we tell you to be the sixth caller for those tickets, you need to remember this number, 312-540-0670. Everyone is ready. The host of categories, Alex Kuhn, is here.
Is he ready, though?
He wasn't ready before the show, which was a little shocking.
That's why I brought it up. He was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I just don't have a third category yet. It was like, you know.
I've got a third category now, and I want to say thank you to the committee for allowing me to return as host and to clear up the doping scandal. Yeah. It was a cream that I was using,
it was
in the cream, and I had no idea that the banned substance was actually banned.
It turns out there was not just a doping scandal, but also some money under the table. You were like SMU.
That's still happening, though, right? You're still laundering money through categories,
well,
right?
You're not going to deny that. In the NIL area, it's now legal, so
yeah, it's a good point.
We're all good now.
There's some smelling salts things that are going on there.
Oh, I forgot. There's all sorts of stuff.
I bought my own. We're good.
If you bring your own, you're fine.
He actually went looking for smelling salts today because I wanted us to try smelling salts on the air as a wacky radio bit. But they don't sell them at CVS. What the hell, man?
You could have just gotten some sort of ammonia.
Yeah, just straight up ammonia.
I mean, that's basically what it is,
right? You ever smell smelling salts?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Cover football for a long time.
Oh, yeah, because so people had them and they were like, here you go. You want to try them? Is that how it went down for you?
Hey,
what
Holmes.
Your child get ammonia?
Hey, Holmes, come here. Ah! You know, that sort of thing happens.
Reporters weren't stealing them on the sidelines?
No, you didn't have to steal them because they were there, like, on the field.
Mm.
Like, guys would use them and toss them, and they would just be there on the field. So,
hey, Lawrence, come here. Smell these.
Yep.
Got it. My nana used to have them in her purse just in case she fell asleep at synagogue.
Oh.
True story. And so once the Spiegel kids caught wind of this.
Yeah, that was before the rules changes at the synagogue, though. Now it's a lot more up-tempo, faster for the younger audience.
Yeah, she's got to bring her own.
Theo changed the synagogue.
They are not providing them.
But, you know, so once the Spiegel kids caught wind that there were smelling salts in Nana's purse, they made their way down the aisle at the synagogue. And all of us were like, here, no, you smell this. No, I don't want to. I said smell this. And I had to. And that's when I smelled smelling salts for the first time.
It's pretty rotten.
Yeah, it's bad.
So Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
Him. Along with giving away Black Keys tickets, we are also going to give away a chance to see our show at the Budweiser Brickhouse in Wrigleyville on Tuesday, August 19th. So here's the thing about that. We're going to be hosting from 10 until 2 that day. Yeah. And that's because Nico Horner is going to join us at noon. So we were like, oh, well, our guy Nico's going to be there. And the midday show was nice enough to show swap, which we do every now and again. So we will be at the Budweiser Brickhouse on Tuesday, August 19th. And we will let you know how you can win those as well. Cubs on Deck is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today.
A day off for the Cubs today. They remain four back of Milwaukee because the Brewers don't lose. Like Parker Lewis.
They what are they, 70 lose. And 44 now?
Something ridiculous. Here's what I know. They're adding an Andrew Vaughn t-shirt to the promotional giveaways in Milwaukee. He's been there for 10 minutes.
And it would have, what they're choosing to do would have played better on the south side of Chicago.
King Vaughn.
Yes, as in King Vaughn. From O Block on the south side. So it would have, had he been good, it would have been a great play on words for the White Sox to use. But apparently someone in Milwaukee is a fan of King Von.
I guess so.
That's a cool idea for them to use. But it would have.
Good for them.
Had he been good on the south side, it would have been an easy marketing move to call him King Vaughn instead of King Vaughn.
Let me check my notes. Andrew Vaughn, not good on the south side. Just check those notes to be sure.
Great in Milwaukee, though.
Unbelievable!
On an 11-game hit streak now?
They're just ridiculous. They had a big home run last night. They're really good. They don't lose, and so that makes things difficult. But so, because we processed a lot of Cubs things yesterday post-game, and they're off today. And we have John Paul Morosi later on and some other stuff that we're going to get to in baseball. Today's a nice opportunity to lead with a football conversation we've been having in the hallways.
Yeah, and that's the idea of watching this thing take shape and watching the quarterback take shape and understanding. Like, when Ben Johnson is hired because of what happened in Detroit, I feel like there's like, well, things are automatically going to be poof, pow, like they're going to be great. And there's two things that I want people to keep in mind while working through some of this stuff. One of them is he's never been a head coach before. So there could be some limitations to how things start off. I imagine, and everything that I've been told about the way that he is running things up there leads me to believe that he at least has gotten off on the right foot as a head coach. The other thing is that you're kind of asking Caleb Williams to start over again. And he's starting over with new voices in his head and in his helmet. So it might not immediately work. And that doesn't mean that it isn't going to work.
I don't know that we've ever seen it successfully completed, what we are hopefully seeing right now.
That's a good point.
The installation of an offense with a talented young quarterback where it hopefully reaches a point that you're like, yep, this thing is going to work and they're going to be together for a bunch of years here. We didn't really have that with Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy, and we've never really had it. Like, and this is going to be an interesting process. Like, I'm extremely optimistic about what Caleb Williams can do and can be. And that's going to be tested. If anybody else out there is optimistic about Caleb, it's going to be tested by a lot of fits and starts and learning moments and bumpy roads as he gets there and problematic competition that's really good and, you know, good football players that make plays and all kinds of things. But, like, I don't know if this town is really prepared as a football populace to deal with what this is going to be. Maybe especially because of the modern polar nature of sports conversation. because the violent shift from one day to the next of I'm freaked out. I'm not freaked out. It's going to be good. I think it might be bad. I don't know. It's like, this is a process, man. This is a process. And we've, like, to me, like, we got to ramp forward holding on to your feelings about it without getting violently pushed in one direction or the other by practices and, frankly, by preseason games.
And honestly, regular season games at the beginning of this.
That's why some of this is even a conversation for, like, opening day and opening week of the football season, and we'll have it. Like, this is going to be bumpy for a while. Do you think our sports fandom, and are you, dear listener, ready for all of what this is, which is to stay level as you build here?
I hope that things are good immediately. That would be great if they were. I think it would be folly to believe that that's the case, that this might take a little bit more time. Although we are seeing Ben feel more comfortable with doing some of the creative play calling in practices, which to me is a sign of, hey, they're learning some stuff, so now I can add some stuff on top of that.
Yeah.
Like that to me is a good sign. But I,
because there's bad signs about the public not being ready, isn't there? There's some bad signs out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
This massive cry for Tyson Bagent already?
I mean, that's filled with all sorts of landmines in it. Like the idea, I'll say to the listener what I said to you yesterday.
He's the real deal. This is coming from a pure bloodline.
Well, there's that part of it. and there's definitely a contingent of people that's why they want him to.
Somebody said the Bajan's coming from a pure athletic bloodline.
Yeah,
was that
caller
about
to the Mully and Hall show last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. My whole thing is, if Tyson Bagent is your quarterback for any long stretch of time, it's a disaster. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Tyson Bagent. It's just that if he is the quarterback, then that means that you have lost development time with Caleb Williams as he would be entering into year three of his deal. So you wouldn't quite know exactly what he is going into the third year. The other thing is while I have a lot of there's a lot of joy in the Tyson Bagent story.
Oh, for sure. Like, it's a good story.
It's a great story.
You found a backup. You found a what seemingly is a useful backup. Okay, great. But like this idea that you should scrap a quarterback who had 3,600 yards last year and under 10 interceptions with nothing around him as you're trying to build something here. It's like, it's insane to me that we're seeing so much of that. So that to me is a bad sign in terms of what our Chicago football Bears fan can handle. It's going to look bad. There's going to be times where Caleb looks bad and you're like, all right, well, good. I hopefully learned something from that. Next.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they slot the quarterbacks. Like, if they say that at the end of this, if it is Bagent or Keenum as the number two, and I don't know if they'll even take that into account, but that's something that I'm interested in on the depth chart. Now, I feel like Case was brought here to be the number three, to do the hand-holding, to be the extra coach in the times when the coaches can't talk with the quarterback, all of that stuff. But with Tyson Bagent, I feel like this is just me, and he's not asking me for advice. I feel like it'd be better for Tyson Bagent if he went someplace else, because he's not going to get the opportunity here. And the opportunity of just kind of being, you know, I guess like the people's champion or a certain segment's people's champion versus there are actual places where I could see Tyson Bagent winning a job. It's not here.
See, that's interesting. I disagree. I think if I were Tyson Bagent's agent, the Tyson Bagent agent, I would want to be here, and I'd want to learn under a really great offensive coach, and I'd want to have the cover for a little while as I learn, and then maybe you play one game, and then you sign the deal like you're Matt Flynn. You know what I mean? Like you're something like that, where you get a chance eventually, but you learn under the good thing. But
I'm Tyson Bagent, I want to play.
Yeah.
And the likely, if Caleb was very durable last year, he played all 17 games. if I'm him, I want to show that I can play. And I think that, there is a world there in a world. I think there is a world where he's quarterback 40. If you were like putting together a list, he's quarterback 40.
Are they better off going with Tyson Bagent there?
No.
When did Schefter say that?
That was when we were in Vegas, I believe. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's just
it was the whole idea
after the Patriots game.
It was the idea of sitting Caleb down because things are going too fast for him, and then of course you realize that Caleb had to learn how to play NFL quarterback by himself.
I mean, it's just insane. The kid was the number one pick overall, was incredibly talented, and put up the numbers that he did last year, and now he gets to learn from maybe the best, one of the absolute best that's out there. What a tremendous opportunity for the Bears to have, and a tremendous opportunity for us to watch and get smarter. See, it's interesting. A texture says this about the Bears fans, as we've been asking, like, if they can handle the conversation. And the process, he says, we want to see football that looks like other football teams we watch when we're watching football. I know that feeling of watching an Island game on a Monday or a Thursday or a Sunday and coming in and saying, man, that just doesn't look like what we do. But when do you want to see that? When do you want to see that? And that's why this is partially an opening day conversation, opening week conversation. Like, I'd like to see that on the regular by like late October. Like, I'm not going to freak out. Even in September, I'm not going to freak out if it's bumpy. I'm not going to freak out if I see some good stuff in the first week of October and some bad stuff in the second. Like, and I mean, you tell me, Lawrence, is that what do you think about drawing that line of like when to expect to see it?
A lot of people that, you know, 2 weeks ago said the next 12 weeks are going to be interesting, and that puts us at the end of October, the beginning of November. Like, that makes sense to me that you look and you see, all right, kind of where we're at and where we need to go. But I also don't want to use that as like a demarcation line that he's not good. Because in my world, I look at this as a redo of his rookie year. And I think Ben Johnson does too, from what he said about the lack of experience under Eberflus and Shane Waldron. So it's a very strange place for me to be, because a lot of people know how I felt about the draft last year. I want to see him be given every opportunity to succeed. And we are just now, like, think of it this way. We're just now at the point where we have an idea that he is now in good hands.
That's the thing. We are at the beginning of something. We're at the very, very beginning of the relationship and the growth and the learning.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm feeling extremely optimistic about the possibilities here, and I'm going to pledge to hold on to that as I learn things and watch. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be critical or analytical, and I'm not going to be pie-in-the-sky delusional. It doesn't have to be these polar opposites that American discourse and American sports discourse has descended to. You don't have to do that. You don't have to take part in that. Even if you can actually be open-minded and watch the process unfold along with us. You can do it.
The process itself, but it's tied into a lot of stuff. Like, it's tied into wanting to be better than the Packers, and it's tied into,
yes, it is,
not having a playoff team with any legitimate chance for a long time. So
I
understand the emotional impact of being told what you were told about Caleb and then not seeing it play out immediately.
Yep.
And now, like, you have me saying, guys, last year is pretty good considering, and we all, like, that's the other part, like the cognitive dissonance of, like, everyone knows that he was put in a terrible position last year.
But you're right, there was a lot of it last year, and there will be some this year of, like, you told me it was going to be this, and now it's the other. So it becomes personal and vitriolic in that way. And that's part of the nature of what we do, obviously. I just, like, it's enough for me to be excited about the process and watch this process.